Blog Talk Radio.
She said, baby, I'm afraid to fall in love. What if it's not reciprocated? Girl, don't you rush. Guess it's all a game of patience. She said, what if I dive deep? Will you come in after me? Would you share your flaws with me? I told her thinking is all wrong. Love will happen when it wants. I know it hurts sometimes, but
this is what I
Cause money can pay for your time, but it ain't love. No. Your love cannot pay for the shit that I bought you. Yeah. Ooh, got me up on some drama. Knowing this shit is a problem. Yeah. But I got I should be gone. Leave you alone. But I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your bullshit. I'd rather be with you and all your bullshit. Rather be with you and all your bullshit. You, yeah, babe.
Thank you. Sometimes I wish you knew, but I disguise the truth. I say I'm happy, but I'm still stuck on us. Does your mind play this game too? Think about me and you. I guess I'll just pretend until it all makes sense. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. Like I want you. You. Even if it's true. It's overdue. Tell me your point of view. Tell me, am I to blame? You're so good with change. A table set for two. You got me waiting, but you ain't coming through. Try to stay patient, but gotta face the truth. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah. See you face to face. I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. See you face to face, I'm thinking about the days we used to be. But I can't make a scene. But I can't make a scene. Like I want you. You. Even if
need you every day, believe me when I say it. Like I want you. You. Even if it's
I'ma leave the door open, girl. Good evening. Welcome back to Epiphany Radio Universe. My name is Mojave, affectionately known as Hob Rux. Welcome back to War Council. We're back after a short hiatus. We are back here on Epiphany Radio. Welcome back, show. Doing some incredible things. We are doing Damage Part 3. And, you know, when we talk about the term damage, we're not talking about, you know, damage to a house or a car. We're talking about emotional damage, sometimes physical damage, but literally damage that's done to people, either mentally, physically, or spiritually through relationships and things of that sort. So, tonight, we're going to talk about how family, friends, and society can ruin or damage a relationship. It's an open conversation. We're going to talk about some things. We're going to be community issues. It is an open format. We are going to be talking literally, you know, we will go back to our other format later. But tonight, you know, we're just going to get everybody acclimated, get everybody willing to talk and get things going. Make sure that you feel good about what you're about to do, how you're about to do it. I'm going to bring in some of our panelists for this evening. Some of you are familiar with, some people you may not, but we're going to bring people. Yeah, we're not doing that.
What was that?
I opened somebody's channel, and I got that. So, yeah, I had to get off of that very, very quickly. So while we're waiting, in the meantime, in between time, and there are people will be arriving at all times, so if you hear new voices, don't be alarmed. There's just people coming into the panel. But let's get started with the people that you may know or may not know. Number one, let's start with La Perla Negra, a.k.a. Danielle. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. I am.
All right. We won for one so far. This is good stuff. It's good stuff. We're going. All right, so we're going to go with the station manager of the Epiphany Radio Universe, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. Van Meadows, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here. What's going on, Hobby?
Oh, what's happening? What's happening? All right. And so we're bringing in also, making a visit, coming to the panel. Has sat here before, but actually participated, but now we're sitting on the panel for this evening. Ms. Lisa Lips, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, come on with Lisa Lips. And of course, he really needs no introduction. He's always here, he's always rocking with us. I'll give you Mr. Dawood Muhammad. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here, peace.
All right. Now, anyone else, if you're here and you know you're participating, make sure that you press 1 so we can add you. I'm still horrible at reading numbers. You know, charge it to my head and not my heart. You're still number one. And we're rocking and we're going with it like that. So, in the meantime, in between time, there was this interesting topic that we talked about. We have a chat that we bring up things and we discuss things before it actually happens. And we talked about this issue that was just brought up magnificently by Dawood. So, when we were talking about this whole thing, there were several things that led to this conversation about how this, and literally I believe that how things are happening. Hold on, let me bring this down a little bit more. Alright, if someone's moving around in the background, please mute your mic because we can pick up all the ambient sound that's happening in the background. Alright, just in case somebody here. Alright. Now, if you're just joining us and you're making sure, make sure that you press 1 if you're going to be a part of this discussion. It's important. Hello? Hello? Oh. Might have been me.
Yeah, we're here.
I lost people for a second. It got real quiet. It was kind of weird sounding. Hold on. Let me see. Wait, make sure we got area code 651.
Hey, Mojave. What's going on? This is Pheromones. How you doing tonight?
What's happening, Pheromones? How are you?
I'm fine. Okay. How are you doing, my beloved brother?
I happen to be in fine form. Thank you very much. Thank you. So let me pick up the conversation where we left off. So, Dawu, we were talking about it. So surmising to what we were talking about when we came to this conversation, and I'll let you open. How do family, friends, and maybe even society ruin relationships?
You know, so I think that this started when, basically this started with the good sister Tabitha Brown, where she was happy that she was able to retire her husband because she was now making enough money off her YouTube career and said other things. And she was able to retire her husband, who had been a police officer for LAPD. So she was talking about it, and Wendy Williams got on, and she responded by saying, you know, you know, that's not what you want to do, because when I tried to retire my husband, he didn't do anything, and basically called him lazy and said, your husband's going to do the same thing. I realized from that a lot of times families do the same thing. Mothers, fathers, cousins, aunts, they project their relationship failure on your relationship. And you may have a happy, healthy relationship that was planned, that was detailed, or whatever, and they'll project their insecurities and basically inject toxicity inside what you're trying to do, creating an issue that wasn't there before. And so this is what we, you know, how we started bouncing it around, because a lot of times, a lot of these people, like male, female, whatever, they may have a good person in their life that they get ready to build a union with, and mothers, fathers, family will really destroy that because they're living vicariously through that individual. That's how it started.
Well, that's a good topic. Does anyone else have any commentary that they'd like to lend to that as well?
You know, I totally agree with the brother, with what he just said. What it all boils down to, you know that phrase, stay in your lane? When it comes down to a relationship between a man and a woman, if nobody is getting hurt, right? Nobody is getting exploited. Everything is functioning well. And you have the nerve, because of what you have endured in the past, because of the choices you have made went south for you, you want to press that upon someone else's livelihood in their relationship. And that's very, very unfair. And shame on the people that actually let that be an effect, a negative effect on what they have. You know, if somebody's doing something, they've been in relationship after relationship after relationship, and everything sucks for them in those relationships, it's basically because those people are reflections of who they are at that time in their lives. And you cannot put that on somebody else's relationship just because your relationship sucks. What you need to do is revisit your own stuff, clear the stank out your own stuff, and apply it to your next relationship so it'll be prosperous. You know, I'm not going to let anybody whose relationship is just always dramatized. Everything is wrong. Everything. let them have anything to say on something that I got that's going right and is positive. Stay in your lane. Mind your own damn business.
Okay, that's what's up. So, who else would like to comment?
You know what? I believe that family can ruin your relationship for one or two reasons. Selfishness and jealousy, basically. Either your relationship is better than theirs, or they have no relationship and they are jealous of that, or they may want the person, a certain family member may want the person that you are dealing with, and they will try, they will interfere, say things, start rumors about you. Even do little quirky things around you to draw attention to that relationship, but it'll be a negative attention to cause problems between you and your person. I've seen it, and it ain't pretty. And if you don't have a strong bond between you and your mate, it will separate you. It's so many different circumstances that come about why family will interfere in your relationship. They, you know, the matriarch or the patriarch may not like that individual. And nine times out of ten, the family is going to go with the hierarchy. They're going to go with the word of them, the mom or the mother or the father. And they may know the truth, but because of the so-called family thing, they will go along, you know, they just like people are sheep. They'll follow suit, you know, not caring. Because, and it could be out of fear of losing their position in the family. I come from an extremely large family. And what my mom said went, okay. And it had a lot to do with money and the position that certain family members held. And when I say I came from a large family, I came from a family of 12 kids, okay. And me being the baby girl and a twin, it was a lot of jealousy that came about. Because they felt as though it was too much attention paid to me. I was a sickly child. I had arthritis really, really bad, so I needed extra attention and extra help. And my older siblings looked at it as it wasn't a serious thing. Well, that's neither here nor there. When I got older and I met my husband, and they saw that I was happy with him, my mother didn't care for him. She didn't want me to leave the family. And I can't get into the really personal reason why she didn't want me to leave. But she knew if I did, she was going to lose out on certain things. So she, you know, caused a lot of problems and started a lot of rumors and would talk really, really bad about him. And the rest of the family followed suit. And I just had to wind up just leaving. And I didn't get away that easy because they followed me. They would come to where I was staying at, and oh, man, it was a mess. But it's one or two things. Like I said, it's either jealousy or selfishness and greed. And that's my take on it for now.
Okay. Ben, do you have a take on it?
I mean, family is never usually someone else's fan. I find that family usually just wants to get their way, and as long as, you know, you're giving the family what they want, then sure, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. But the moment that you stop allowing them to get their way, or you see that they're being they're using your significant other for the sake of, you know, for whatever it is, monetary or comfort or, because I actually had to deal with that in one of my marriages. And I flat out said, listen, I'm not married to your family. I'm married to you. And I really don't care what they think. And it's just that simple. Your family is not there paying bills, taking care of you. They're leeching off of you. And I'll address it. You know, I don't like that. I don't like people using people, and that's what family will do. So, yeah, they will definitely break it up any way they see fit as long as they get what they want.
Okay. All right. Omari, because I just had you in. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, can you do a reset for me on the question?
The question was the general thing. How does family ruin relationships?
How does family ruin relationships? Okay, let me not turn this into a dissertation. First off, I want to say with selfishness, right? And I'm assuming you're speaking of like aunts, uncles, cousins, siblings, parents, right?
Parents, yeah.
You know? Yeah, so a lot of it is selfishness. People wanting your relationship to look the way they want it to look. And people wanting you to be in a relationship with the person or type of person they want you to be in a relationship with. So when it doesn't line up with what their desires are for you, which is really their desires for themselves, what they do is go into sabotage mode or disregard mode, meaning they will disregard what you want, disregard what your significant other wants, disregard any boundaries you set forth. And that's another piece. Family can help to ruin a relationship. When I say help, I mean because we don't set boundaries enough for our family. Right? And in general, as a society, we don't set enough boundaries. And we also don't respect enough boundaries that are set. So I think a lot of times families selfishly want in a relationship what they want in that out of that relationship. But it's not theirs. It's not even theirs to comment on. It's not theirs to participate in, other than when they're invited to do so for whatever temporary time they allow, like a family dinner or whatever the case may be, right? But the biggest piece that we have to bring into this conversation, and it seems like people were already touching upon that, is intergenerational trauma. Right. So because intergenerational trauma works so many different ways with us, especially with black folks in America or any marginalized group in America, what we do is we pass on our ideologies, which are heavily traumatic based, trauma based. And we pass that on to people, force it on to people, and try to make people inherit the generations of trauma and dysfunction that we embody and we carry within ourselves that we've not healed from or corrected or worked on or unpacked. So this overflows and bleeds into our loved ones' relationships, or our loved ones bleed it into ours.
You got a point right there. All right. I'm going to move on to you to go to Lisa Lips.
Yeah. For me in this situation, because I've seen it from both sides in my personal life, my family had a determined role for what they wanted me to be for them. So anything outside of that idea, they tried to mess up as best they could. So they expected me to care for them and to do for them first. And when there was someone in my life who took that position, then they put every bit of the energy they had behind figuring out how to ruin it. And it worked a lot of times because I felt obligated to my family first. So, you know, for me, that was a big part of it. But in my last relationship, it was that my now ex-husband was very much trying to please his family because they wanted him to settle down and have a relationship with somebody that they thought they could control. And so because I'm not a person who barks first, they thought that I was this quiet country girl that they could fit into their little Huxtable lifestyle. And when I grew an opinion, they suddenly did not want me anymore. And so they set out to end the marriage. And so I've seen it from both sides. But, yeah, in that situation, I called a spade, which was the quickest exit for me that there could have been. Because I was like, I'm not playing this game. I've been my whole life playing somebody else's game. I'm not doing it with y'all. And so they set out then to break us apart, and they succeeded.
Mm. Wow. Well, to bring it back all in, my personal thing is literally my ex-fiancé, the mother of my youngest child, she had cousins. And we all had went to the same university together, and actually I was a multicultural person working underneath this thing, and so I had met the cousin first, but I was seeing her the whole, like, I would see her all the time. It was like every time I would see her all the time, but I never talked to her. But the cousin, like, basically was doing the program and all this other stuff, but the cousin had related to me that they had no interest in men. They were not interested in a heterosexual relationship. They don't like anything else. But the weird thing was is that, I had always saw her, and I just didn't know. I didn't even know that they were related, which is really funny. But we fooled around and goofed off one night. So it was like, and they were like, well, I don't know how to feel about this because I usually don't like men, whatever. And I was like, well, that's all right. And then by that time, I figured out who they were and everything else. But I was like, okay, you don't like guys. That's cool. Well, that's fine. You know, I really like your cousin. And they didn't take that too kindly. And so the funny thing is that it reverberated throughout our entire life since, like, from that point. So literally when I started talking to, her, like, she literally went off, like, she stole a car, she tried to attack her in the shower, and I was like, how are you attacking this person if you don't like guys? And, it was just crazy. But literally, the cousin went to their mother, and made up all of these lies. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe how many things that this person made up. And it was like her and her sister just went there, and they, like, chose a day, went there, and just told all these lies. So the mother was like, oh, this guy's horrible. He's such and such. So every time I would come to the house, they would treat me like shit. Like really, like, people would just look at me like, what are you doing here? I was just like, I didn't do anything. Like, what's going on here? And so years and years and years later, right, years later, in and out, all kinds of stuff. After my son is born, the mother's, like, really tripping about, like, the son. When he was, like, 3 weeks old, I went to go visit my parents with him. And so when we came back, like, the mother, like, lost her shit on me. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, what's going on here? And then it was like she had all of these different, these different reasons that I had no idea what they were about. I was kind of trying to figure it out what it was. And then eventually the cousin came clean and was like, well, we went to your mother and we said these things, but it's okay now because, Jasiri's here and we all love him and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, why would you? So for years I've been experiencing this strife because you wanted to tell this lie that you never really covered from undergrad, which was this many years ago. You just decided upon yourself to just fuck somebody's life up, clearly. And it just led to a whole bunch of things. And literally, in dealing with that, I realized that families will literally bandy around certain things or think that something is wrong because of how they believe something should occur or something should happen. It was a little nuts for the kid personally. But literally, the families was always weighing in on something. So my thing is this. So let me move on to this next thing. So, because since we're talking about parents interfering and everything else, you know, Lisa has spoken about the entitlement of how their parents expected her to be this way, no matter what. No, you don't have a choice. This is what it is, right? And so it stops it being, you know, life advice and gentle word advice. It starts to be in control. So this controlling behavior that actually occurs, which I think happens more with mothers than fathers, you know, I know that my mother gave my ex-wife hell because literally, like, as Omari was saying, that intergenerational trauma that, you know, that happens, you pass those things on. So what do you think is the when you knew someone crossed the line with you, when you knew automatically he was like, oh, nah, you crossing the line. And it could be anybody in your family who's trying to interfere in your relationship or tell you what's going or what's happening. When was that moment that it occurred that she was like, you know, you habitual line stepper, you just did this, you did anything else? So I'm going to leave that open to the crowd. As a matter of fact, let me start with Dawood. When did you know that someone overstepped their boundaries?
Say it again, bro.
I said, when did you know that somebody in your family overstepped their boundaries in your relationship?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. It wasn't necessarily that my family overstepped the boundaries. It was that one of my ex's family overstepped the boundaries. And what I found out, what I found out was this, and this is going to sound controversial, but a lot of people have said this. What I found out was that, and as a matter of fact, we found out, because you was on the phone with me that day with our good sister, Winnell. There are certain generations of immigrants that come to America, and then they teach their daughters or their sons, but a lot of times their daughters, that love is money, and money is love. And you should judge your partner according to how much money they have, how much money they're giving you, how much they're using on you. So they will act like they're glad that you're in their life, but then they will have their daughter or son give them weekly updates as to how much money you got, how much you're spending on them, and it's crazy. So the first time this happened to me was in a relationship I had, and I realized that the conversation shifted from who I was and what I was doing for her to how much money I have and what's my aspirations with money. And mind you, like, I'm a person that's already aspirational and a go-getter anyway, but it started to become all about money. And it began to ruin the relationship because, you know what I mean, like, money is not the whole thing. It's part of it. It's a big part of it, but it's not everything. And if you guys don't have any love and all you're striving for is money, what happens when either your money fluctuates? Because in every couple, money goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. It is what it is. And so what I found out was that her family had basically influenced her to stop looking at me for who I was and looking at me for what I had. That was my first experience with that.
Okay. Anybody would like to pick that up?
For me, I think when the tables actually turned was, and it was kind of sort of a money issue as well, my ex-husband owned property, and we had decided to take up and leave the area that we met in and move back to my hometown because my mother needed someone to take care of her. And so his family had agreed to rent his property and keep the mortgage paid out of the rent money, and they didn't. So we almost lost the house. And I encouraged my then husband, to ask what happened to the money that was collected on that property. And his father cussed him out for questioning his judgment on what he wanted to do with that money. And then tried to justify to me why he cussed my husband out. And I was not having it. I was like, the day I married him, said to me, he's mine. And if he's mine, you don't have to write to talk to him that way. And I don't care who you are. There may be a few people here that are afraid of you, but I'm not one of them. And my husband was furious that I spoke to his father that way. And that was the beginning of the end of our marriage.
So you felt, so your husband felt, I'm sorry, what was that?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just doing a follow-up question. So your husband felt that because you interfered in a way that his father was abusing him and asking,
right,
you know,
and
questions, especially when he came to find that he got mad at you for interfering in that?
He was mad at me because I stood up to his father, and in his eyes, his father was never wrong.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me standing up to his father in his defense for him was me standing against him because he would rather take it than to say that his father was wrong.
Wow. That's amazing.
And I was never invited back to the house ever again after that.
For real, like that?
Yeah. Yeah, they would call him and tell him to come, but they wouldn't invite me there.
Wow.
Sis, how did that affect you and your husband's relationship after that? I mean,
well, our relationship was having its own issues, even though they didn't know exactly what was going on even then. But after that point, it was like it was me against them all the time, and he always chose them. And that was ultimately what led to the end of our relationship and finally a divorce. But yeah, up until I stopped being the docile creature that just went along to get along, everything was fine, but that was not who I was. And the moment that they crossed into the territory of what goes on in my house and the reason that we had to come up with enough money to keep the house from being sold at foreclosure, because we found out about it 5 days before it hit the auction, and that was my money. That wasn't his money. That was the money I came into the marriage with. And so when they had no explanation as to where 12 months of rent had gone to in the middle of Baltimore City, I wanted to know what was going on. And when he questioned them, they basically made him look stupid for even asking. And then they decided that I must have been the one that put him up to it. But they tried to justify to me why they cussed him out. And that was what that set me off. You're going to stand upstairs and cuss and scream in his face to the point where he's in tears. And then you're going to come to me and try and justify it? Oh, no, that does not work well for me. I don't care what he did or what you think he did. He's mine, and if he's mine, you can't speak to him like that. And I'm not having it, and there's no justification for you to stand in my face and say that.
Oh, wow. So I'll come back to this. I'm going to go with Omari. Omari, when did you know that your family or your significant other's family overstepped their bounds, you know, stepped over their bounds when it came to your relationship?
So there was a relationship I was in where I actually worked for her mother at the Detroit City Council. And we were having relationship issues. And her mother would call me in the office every now and then and ask me when I was going to marry her daughter. You need to marry my daughter. That's who you're supposed to marry. I don't trust anybody with her. And then when we started having relationship issues, she would call me in the office and say, you know, you like your job, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I love my job. Well, how could I consciously keep you maintained on my payroll and be putting money in your bank account and you're not willing to marry my daughter? So that's when that started going down, that's when I was like, whoa. So, but I gotta add this real quick and then I'm done. Like, I don't say family members mess up the relationship. What I say is they're background singers to somebody else, to the person I'm with not being able to stand up and do the right thing when it comes to their family. So I call them background.
Hmm. No, that's a good way of looking at it. Let me go with.
Hey, Mojave.
Yes.
Do you guys remember that Tyler Perry movie where the woman wanted her daughter to marry this guy because he was rich and had all that money and stuff, and he was beating her behind?
Oh, you're talking about what you call it?
That's Mad Black Woman, right?
Yeah, Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yeah.
Now, that type of stuff is real. That's real. It got women and also men too that are in those type of relationships, and the family is forcing because of financial stability, jeopardizing versus their livelihood, you know, and I think that's crazy. That's crazy also, you know?
I mean, well, I would say to that, if there are certain things like where people are moving, I do understand, like, well, not in a violent sense where someone was being beaten, although there's something I'll put in the parking lot and I'll come back to it later. One of my fraternity brothers literally married his college sweetheart. And so what he discovered was that her mother was literally putting the pressure on him, saying, you know, like her mother had bills. And so she was taking money out of the accounts that they shared and paying her mother's bills and her family's bills and sending money to Jamaica and doing all these different things, you know, as if they were rich. And the funny thing is that because he had a very good job, so does, and so the job he had, like, you know, it would put him, like, he'd go, you know, setting up network systems in different cities and stuff like that for a particular company, which we all remain nameless, but it's a very big one. And so he literally would only take out of his paycheck $200 a week, you know. He'd fill his gas up with car. I mean, fill his car up with gas, and he'd go to wherever he had to go, right? And then he didn't really worry about it because he thought that all the bills were, like, he had bill pay, so everything was automatic. So he didn't have to look at anything. He had to think about anything. So his wife went home to Florida, right? And so over the break, like, you know, they spent Christmas, and then she went to her family's house. So the first of the year, like right after, like, the second, he started getting all these phone calls from these bills not being paid, right? So he's like, how's this bill not paid? And then he started to find out that bills wasn't paid for months. And, like, according to him, and he's very good at math, he's like, there should have been this many thousands of dollars in the account, and they were in the negative, which means literally whatever money that was in there, and being that he basically made four times what she made, and I knew what she made because we worked in the same school. She literally had taken the money and basically was paying her mother's mortgage, sending money to people in Jamaica, paying her father's bills, and not paying their bills. And when the mother called, the mother's like, you got to understand, you have to take care of the whole family, not just her. All of us, every single one of us. I needed a new washer and dryer. She bought it for us. You shouldn't be angry. You're helping your family. We're family. This was also the same person, who advised her daughter to take their daughter and move to Florida and do all these mean things to him that he didn't even expect. And so he literally had to deal with the fact that he had bought a house. Right, he bought a house for them. That not only did he buy the house, she moved her family into the house without asking him. And then when it came time for her to move back to Florida, she took the daughter and she took the keys to his car. So he had to buy another car because he was like, I need to get another car anyway. So he junked that car and he actually bought another car because he was basically driving. He had bought her a new car and she didn't pay any of the bills on the car either. So he was still stuck paying for the car. So it was a little crazy, but that whole idea about the family doing that? Has anybody ever run into where somebody expects you not to just take care of them, but their entire family as well?
Yep.
Okay. Who's that? Danielle?
Yeah. I had come upon a large sum of money, and even though my family never helped me out, really didn't want anything to do with me, when I came upon this money, word got out, and I swear, back then, we just had the house phone, and I just took it off the hook, because I swear every member in my family came out of the woodwork and was like, can I have, can I have, can I have? And because I was doing what I was supposed to do with my money, and that had to do with like fixing up my house, pay bills, put some away for, you know, whatever I was going to invest it in. And I didn't go straight to my mother with, you know, thousands of dollars. I was really the bad guy. They just came at me, and it was like they thought my husband had something to do with that. It was just crazy. Money, you know, money, it brings out the worst in people, I swear. It's just, it's gross. Another thing was, before I actually moved in with my husband, I had gotten pregnant by him. That was our very first pregnancy, and it was not a successful pregnancy. And my mother had made a deal with someone. I'm not going to get into the organization, but as long as I didn't have any children, and if I got pregnant and had what they call abortions, she would get money for that. And when she found out that I was trying to have a baby, she flipped because the money had stopped for her. I was supposed to have abortions every time I got pregnant. She was, like, intercepting my mail, fussing at me. When she found out I had went to the doctor and was having problems with fertility, she was fussing at me, like, why are you even trying to have a baby and this and that? I didn't find out about the money thing until later on, but, you know, it's, money will just, it's just an ugly thing.
Wow. Wow. That's
sometimes
amazing.
It's not even, but sometimes it's
so
not
what?
Even the money. It's the idea that you may have money. It's the position that you have in life that they think you're making money sometimes turns into
mm-hmm.
an issue as well, because
mm-hmm.
I've always worked in the media, and people perceive the idea of working in the media that there's always money attached to it, and there isn't on a local level. But because people thought that I was working in media, and I just happened to be working at the number two TV station and the number one radio station at the same time, they thought that I was rolling in it. And the ones that couldn't figure out how to spend the money were my best friends and would call into the radio show, hey, that's my homegirl. And before I thought about it, I was like, you ain't speak to me on the street last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you just want to be seen because now I'm in this 22-share market and y'all want folks to know that you know me. But you ain't cared one way or the other about who I was prior to this. Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah. I ain't your cousin today because I ain't nobody. But when I'm on the air, suddenly I'm your cousin. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, cousin. Hey.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Right.
I can never understand that.
Right. Yeah. And I was on a morning show, and I am not a morning person, so I was not aware that Mike was still open when this chick come talking about, hey, cousin. I was like, when did that happen? Because
oh,
I don't
wow.
remember us having no bloodlines
crossed. I'll
fill
you on
that. Mm-hmm. I know. Well, actually, we've crossed into the 10 o'clock hour. So I literally have to do this thing. We're going to make sure that we get our Epiphany Radio stuff in, what we're supposed to be doing, so it's important. So I'm going to take this quick break to do our station identifier, and then we will be back. This is War Council, Damage Part 3, How Do Family, Friends, and Society Ruin Relationships. So we'll be back. We'll have some important things to share. All right, so let's try this out. All right.
This is Epiphany Radio. All day long.
Baby, take your socks off.
The butterfly, also known as Scorpion, and you're locked into Epiphany Radio, the next day on my radio.
Click, listen, enjoy.
This is Radio.
And you're listening to Epiphany Radio, the original entertainment network. Peace, blessings, and one love.
Epiphany Radio.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Epiphany Radio. This is War Council, Damage Part 3, and we are talking about how do family, friends, and society ruin relationships. And we did a lot of plenty of talking things about family. Let's talk about friends and society. Let's talk about the expectations of how people are supposed to exert upon your relationship from outside of your relationship while you're in your relationship. So real fast and hurry, I want to make sure that I get over to Dawood. Because, you know, he was the catalyst for all this. So I always like to start the discussions with him or whomever who started the discussions that we followed into this trend. So, Dawood, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. All right. So what do you think, all right, do you want to deal with friends or society? Which one do you want to deal with first?
Oh, let's deal with friends.
All right, so friends. All right, so... So when it comes to friends, right, they say that there's usually like 10 different people, that 10 different friends that will ruin your relationships, right? They say that there's a platonic friend, a secret crush friend, an ex-girlfriend boyfriend, the ex-girlfriend boyfriend's parents, the clingy friend. Let's see, what else? Let me see. A few other things. Hold on. Well, you know, I'm going to go look for that because I just lost the pace. Anyway, in the nature of your relationships, right, have you had or have you had people who were your friends or so-called friends come and affect your relationships, either coming into the relationship to ruin your relationship or keeping you in a bad relationship by suggesting that you stay in a bad relationship? Because that's important too, because sometimes our friends are usually our sounding boards for when we hear things about our relationships that will tell us what we like, what we don't like, and we'll be like, you know, you think so? And they'll be like, it's not my relationship, go ahead. And, have you had any of these things occur? And if so, what did it look like?
That's when we broke out of orbit. She broke me out of my
Hello?
Beginning.
Can you hear me?
And so what ended up happening was I had some friends
around
that didn't have that same situation. Man, I had that chick hickey on me. I had her bracelet. I had everything. And they were telling me that, oh, you know, this is going to get stale. You don't want it like that. And
oh, Jesus Christ. Hello?
Can you hear me, Hope?
I can
I'm
hear you
here.
Now. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
well,
it's
like dead air.
No, this thing is telling me I have a runtime error. and it's not letting me back into the application.
Oh,
so, Van, if you're up, Van, are you up and running?
I can be in like 5 seconds.
Wait, hold on. Let me see. It might be working again. Hold up. Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. It says we're back up and running right now. You can hear me, right? If everybody can hear
yes.
me, check in, please. Let me know. Let you hear.
Yes, I hear you.
I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. So, all right. Okay, good. All right. Because that was like crazy. Like it just started giving me the circle and then it just said runtime error. And I was like, what? I was like, what's going on? I couldn't
hear
it. Yeah,
I just got knocked off out of nowhere. So
yeah, that's nutty.
So basically, you know, one or two stupid moves and that relationship was over. I literally was across the street while a girl that I knew went to go fight her. You understand? And I'm across the street and she looks across the street, she sees me there and she's like, what are you doing here? You understand? So like that was immaturity on my part if I'm going to be vulnerable. And I think that in life, when you meet somebody like that and you allow somebody to, whether it's family, friends, whatever, to ruin a relationship, I think the universe takes a little bit of time to send you that kind of person back into your life. You can have a lot of different partners and people that you deal with, but that special kind of person that you're supposed to match your soul with, that person doesn't come along every day. It doesn't come along every 5 days. And so the second time it happened, it was a situation where I was told to stay in the situation, and I ended up prevailing, but it was very trying. And that was when, I want to say just a couple of years ago, I was getting out of a long-term toxic relationship that ended, you know, the person emotionally moved on from me a long time ago, and I finally got the strength to leave the situation. But a friend of mine that I've been knowing since like 1994, he called me all sorts of stupid, why would you leave, you know what I'm saying, you could just stay there. Even though they mostly moved on from you, like your children are there, and you should just go get you a side chick or a bunch of side chicks. And I was like, yeah, but I don't live like that. Like, I try my best to live in honesty. And they was like, wake up, this is the real world. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, you know, to basically just tolerate it. And the thing is, and I talk about this a lot either during my lives, in my class, or on my page. At some point, you have to address the elephant in the room. At some point, you cannot go on and just allow a relationship to be stagnant because it's holding up your life, but it's holding up the other person's life too. And a lot of people try to let their relationships linger like this and go for years. They're using somebody, somebody's using them, and they really need to move on. And what it stops is it stops you from really finding long-term happiness. And none of us is getting any younger. So I had to take a deep breath, and I had to jump out. And once I jumped out, that person saw, I mean, even when I jumped out, the person was trying to clown me and say that I made a stupid move and this thing and this thing. But I knew what I was doing. And so I put this on my page just yesterday. I said, sometimes when you make a big change in your life, your friends won't understand it. But you have to allow for that. Meaning you can't call them haters and you can't say that they're against you because sometimes they just don't know. Because what my teacher taught me is, sometimes your friends don't have a reference for the things that you're doing. Sometimes when you make a bold move to either get out of a relationship or in a relationship, the people around you are so used to unloving, toxic relationships that they have no idea what the hell they're looking at, and they think that what you're doing is bugged out, and that's because they have no reference to it. It's strange to them. But if you know what you're doing and you have made the proper thought, thinking, strategy, consultation, and all of the above, you move forward with what you got to move forward with, and they eventually will see what you were intending to do. And so that same friend, you understand, I'm still friends with him. I'm not mad at him or anything like that, but I understand that he didn't understand. And he's still in the same situation he's in that he told me the same. And, you know what I'm saying, like he was supposed to come over to my house and cut my hair the other day, or cut my beard, I should say. And I know that deep down in his heart, he knows that what I did was the right thing. But he still does not, like, really believe in it. He still thinks he's going to fall apart. And I'm like, dude, like, I've been out of here for, like, a year and a half, almost 2 years, and I'm living a good life now because I choose to live in honesty. So I think that the key to surviving bad advice from friends that you have to try your best to live in honesty, because if you're living in dishonesty, it's easy for somebody else to lead you astray with bad advice.
Okay. That's dope. Can we go to, I would like a feminine perspective on this. Would Danielle or Lisa like to chime in?
He's absolutely right. If you don't, first of all, you know, you got to know who you are, first of all. And it's like he said, pretty much, we deal with that too, females. I had a couple of females in my life that were so used to toxic relationships and just staying in it, more so for to please the public eye, because they both had something, but he was really, really a messed up individual. And I'm talking about taking her car and lending it to the females he was messing with, all kinds of crazy stuff. And she really could not understand why I dealt with who I dealt with, and I was content with that. I was happy with it. There was nothing wrong with my relationship at that time. And she would, like, tell me, you know, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. That's wrong. I'm like, y'all doing everything wrong in your relationship, but yet you're trying to advise me and tell me to go a whole different direction to be in the same position that you're in. I'm not going to be in a relationship for a visual aesthetic, you know, or just to have to say I have a plus one because it looks good, but I'm miserable. I'm not going to do that, you know, and it caused a rift between us, a really bad relationship between she and I. And it was a couple of females that I knew like that. And of course I had to back away from them, leave them alone. I'm still cordial with them, but they're still stuck in the same relationship. And I mean, just doing dirt back and forth to one another, I will never be able to process that. I don't understand it. Well, one of them I understand because one of them is a narcissist. So I get that behavior. It's just no fixing those people. It's no cure for that. But the other ones, they were like that too. They were like, you know, there was a time where me and my husband had separated, and I think I told y'all before, I got pregnant by another guy during the separation. And when I came back home to work it out, of course, I told a couple of close friends what was going on because I needed somebody to talk to. And they were like, you should lie and tell him it's his baby. Why? Why would I do something like that? Okay, now, I say I do this, right? And the baby needs the real father's blood later on. What am I doing? Are you serious? I mean, I just don't understand people's ideology or method of thinking. I don't get it, you know, but that's pretty much it with me. Sometimes your friends will try to put you in a toxic situation, and they really, truly believe that their way of thinking and their way of life is right. It's right, and especially it's supposed to be right for you.
All right, so I want to move on to Van Meadows. Van, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh,
shit. Can you hear me?
I was like, again?
And after all of that dissertation, I'm going to do a double. What was the question?
have friends either interfered in your relationships or kept you in a bad relationship?
Nah, my friends know that I'm pretty headstrong and I'm gonna do what I want to do regardless. So they wouldn't advise me to stay in a bad relationship. As a matter of fact, they would fight the opposite and tell me to get out as fast as I can. And it's important to have real friends, because I don't use that word too loosely, My circle of friends is really small when I really look at friends. I have two friends that I really, my best friends, my female best friend and my male best friend. We've been best friends since I was 14. And they've always had my best interests at heart when it came to relationships. They see me through some good ones. They see me through some worse ones. So, no, they would never give me bad advice to stay in a bad relationship. As a matter of fact, when I got out of my last divorce, my best friends, both of them told me, don't rush into something else with somebody else. Take time for you. Give marriage a break and really take time to focus on your healing, both of them. So it's important to have good friends. So, no, they wouldn't advise me that way.
That's good. So I'm going to come to you, Lisa Lips.
I think sometimes it's just that misery loves company. If they're in a bad position and you're in a good one, they don't like it because then you're happy and you don't have time for their drama. So then they want to find what's wrong with your relationship so that you'll be in the same drama with them. And I have experienced that, you know, with friends before who have been like, you know, you don't really want to do that. He's this, that, and the other. And then they dig up, you go fishing around and try and figure out what's wrong with him, you know, so they can make me see something, or they'll create something, you know, create a situation to make him look bad at the moment. And you just have to know the person that you're with and know the people that you surround yourself with. Like Van says, everybody is not your friend. There are people who are your friends and there are people that you know. And those people that you know are more about who they are and what they want from you most of the time. So if I'm happy in a relationship and they want me hanging out with them because they want to go drinking and I'm usually the designated driver, that interferes with their fun. So then they want to create a situation where you end up as miserable as they are.
Okay. That was definitely. Omari. Omari, are you there? Omari, are you there? He may not be there. He's probably, or he might be on the thing. I hope the same thing is not happening to him on his end. All right. I had a friend, somebody I knew, like I went to school with them. Like they were a school friend. They wasn't like a best friend, like, you know. They were a school friend. And so we worked in a certain school. Right. He spent his time giving me misinformation. And I didn't quite understand, like, why he would do it. Like, so there was a particular person. And so the particular person, like, had told me, like, okay, listen, I kind of like you. This is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. So he had told me off the top. He's like, nah, you can't talk to her. That's my girl, blah, blah, blah. We've been talking such and such and so forth. And, you know, so in the meantime, I'm thinking, like, they talk, because he was always around her. He was always, like, having a conversation. He was always joking. So I was like, oh, I believe you, you know. Whatever it is, it's what it is, right? So it was funny because I was just like, okay, and he's like, yeah, and we're going to go out, and we're going to do this, and we're going to be about that, and such and so forth, and everything else is going on. So I was like, word, it's like that? Like, y'all are really, like, on it like that? So I was like, all right, cool. Y'all rocking, you know, like it's anything else. And so he was making up these scenarios, right? And so I was like, wow, you know, like talking to him. Like, you know, and it's funny because, you know, Dawu could tell you, like if you tell me a certain thing and I think we're cool, I'll see certain things, like, you know. Like, so I was just like, all right, word, that's what it is, right? So then I just basically didn't talk to the person because, you know, I was just like, hey, how you doing? Whatever. So then one day we had a in service for this. We had to come in on a day off. The kids weren't in school. And so I was literally in this room, and they was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" They was like, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "Nothing's wrong with me." They was like, "Listen, I've been telling him to tell you to blah, blah, blah. I gave him my number. I told him to tell you such and such, and you've been ignoring me. Is there something wrong with me? Blah, blah, blah. You don't like." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "Y'all dating." She's like, "What? Hell no." She's like, "No, I've been talking to him about you this whole entire time." And this dude was really telling me he was dealing with her and just not even giving me the information, not even telling me anything with it. And then she was like, "Come with me." And I was like, "Come with you where?" She's like, "Come with me. We're going to talk to him." And I was like, "Talk to him about what?" She's like, and then she was like telling him. And then the funny thing was, when he looked at me, he was like, "That nigga don't deserve you." I was like, "What?" And I was like, yo, I thought we was cool and shit. Like, for real? And I was just like, yo. And it's happened, like, several times. But literally, I realized, like, you really have to have a friend, not just anybody else. Like, you have to have somebody who's really, really in your corner, who's going to rock out with you, who's going to do certain things, you know? Not anything else is going on. And I had another friend, who's still my friend, who tells me all the time, like, baby, like, his name is Dawood. Dawood tells me all the time, like, literally, he tells me all the time what I'm doing, and I do the same thing for him. Like, if I think something is completely unrealistic, I will tell Dawood in a hot minute. I will tell him in a minute. He will tell me in a minute. And we have these whole conversations about unrealistic expectations.
Yep.
We go off on each other all the damn time. Like, it's not even funny. Like, and it's funny.
Yep.
And so the funny thing is that Wu would get mad if I don't answer his question, because he knows I don't want to hear it, so I won't answer him. And Dawood is a very pushy person. He's very pushy.
What are you telling these people that?
He's very pushy. He's very, very pushy. He will tell you. He's super pushy. He will like be on you about it. You'd be like, "What?" He'd be like, "Man, listen." He'd be like, "You think you deal with me?"
It's only because I love you, though.
Right. He'd be like, "That shit ain't real." So what are you doing? The other favorite person I like to talk to, because they make jokes and they don't tell you shit, they just pull up on you, is Van Metals. Van Metals is a pull up person. He just pulls up on you. He don't even talk to you. He just pull up on you. Van knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Really?
All right.
Really?
I say you're a pull-up person. You don't be talking. You just pull up on people.
I will. Let that be a joy and a warning to others.
he be like, "Yeah, fuck all that shit you talk."
Right. I'm old school. Where you at?
Yo, I'm sorry. This is remarkably hilarious because two people I talk to on a regular basis, because they be like, "Yo, matter of fact, what's funny is that you'll find that some of the people have some of the most similar experiences that have when things are happening." Hold on. And somebody just came in. Hold on. Area code 506.
Hi, it's Lady A.
Hey, Lady A. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
We're good. So we're talking about how friends affect relationships. Hello, are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, I
so
think...
So did you have something you wanted to... Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I've had some really bad experiences with what I would call best friends, like really close childhood friends lifelong friends, and there's been betrayal of epic proportions, and I've learned to not really trust anybody anymore. And, you know, even though I'm an open book, I feel that that's the sad outcome of being blindsided. You know, and I'm talking lifelong friends, you know, 25, 30, 40 years. And it's been a real eye-opener, and I realize that the only persons that you could really trust is yourself.
So, if you don't mind me asking, what's one incident that might have occurred?
Well, when I had a really close friend of mine from the time I was 15. She knew all of my secrets. She knew everything about me. She was like my sister, closer than a sister. We shared all kinds of things together. And when I was going through my divorce. And I have to preface that by saying that this particular person, my ex-husband, did not like at all, and because she was of a different religion than we were, and which always really drove me nuts. But in any case, he never gave her the time of day for all the years that he knew her. And then all of a sudden, I realized when I went to see her that she was very nervous. She seemed to be nervous around me for some reason, and I didn't understand it. And the other part of it, I didn't put them together, is that my ex knew my every move. He knew where I was, who I was with, where I was going, everything. And I couldn't figure out how he knew, never dreaming in a million years. And then I had told her one thing once, and she was the only person who knew, the only one. And then one day I was having an argument with my ex, and he put that out there. He put that one thing that only she knew out there, and I knew immediately that she had been the one informing him of my every move. And I was really devastated by that. It was a horrible, horrible shock, and I was very angry, and because I couldn't figure out why. And anyways... And you can't put it back together once it's broken like that. She's tried and we're talking and stuff, but I don't feel the same about her, and I don't trust her. So you know, we've got to the place where I've forgiven her, I'm not angry anymore, but I don't fully trust her. No.
Well, I understand that, definitely, how that can actually occur. When somebody does something like that and they betray your trust. So speaking of betrayed trust of a friend, has anyone experienced that betrayed trust as a friend? Wait, let me check beforehand. Omari, are you here? Okay, we'll just come back to you. Has anyone experienced that betrayed of trust of a friend, like someone who betrayed your trust as a friend? Made you know, told you secret, ruined a relationship because they betrayed your trust, you know, let the cat out the bag? So anybody can chime in whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, and it sucks because it hurts and you can't understand why they would do you like that. But it does happen, and it has happened, and it leaves you with a lot of trust issues for a long time with everybody after that, because you don't know who to talk to, and everybody needs someone to confide in. I don't care who you are, but it makes it very, very hard for you to do that after something like that has happened, especially. Done to you by someone that is very, very close to you. And you would hear things, little things over time, but because of the love you have for that particular person, you don't want to believe that
they're the one that are betraying you like that. You tend to, like, blow it off, like, that couldn't possibly. It's just a fluke. You make all kinds of excuses, you know. And then one day it just explodes because you hear something that you told only that particular person. And then it comes out. You have to hear about it on the street, you know. And when you confront them about it, I don't know about your relationship with that person, Lady A, but with mine, she was just like, no remorse or nothing. And matter of fact, she was like, well, you shouldn't have did it in the first place. You know, you should have did it this way or that way. And,
wow.
It just made it, was like rubbing salt in a wound, an open wound, you know. And sucks.
I remember when I found this out, when I went home, I called her. She had moved from the East Coast to the West Coast of Canada, and I called her, and she answered the phone, and then realizing it was me, and she said, before you say anything, I have to tell you I'm sorry. And I just said, why? Why? And she didn't really have an answer. And, you know, and she really still... I saw her not this past summer, but the summer before, and she said basically after a while, she said, well, you know, stuff happens. You know, you can't hang on to it for the rest of your life. And I said, well, you know, it's changed our friendship. Because I can't tell you how close we were. We're so close. And I have no trust in her at all.
Well, at least you got an apology. I didn't get that.
She was always she had asked for forgiveness on many occasions, and but if you don't get one, then you know, like you like then that person's not even recognizing what they've done or owning it. Well, that's really sad.
Oh no, she got her ass whooped behind that. But I told her keep it to herself. You know, you don't know who knows who. And it wasn't me that did it. Go ahead, Hal, I'm sorry.
We're going to bring in another caller. I think I know who this is. Area code 410.
Good evening. It's Rain.
Hey, what's up, Rain? How are you?
I'm well. How's everybody?
Hey, Steve.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, girl.
So I'm going to comment on the current topic. I can relate to both sides of this. So I have been betrayed. And I have done the betraying. So sometimes, and for me, I was not exposed when I betrayed. I actually told the person that I betrayed them and owned it and apologized. And once you've been betrayed, by somebody, regardless of how you go about doing it, whether it's intentional or not, sometimes, you know, just something as simple but important as repeating something that was confided to you and that in and of itself is betrayal. So I have been on both sides of the coin. And I know that's probably not the most popular thing on the show right now, but I've been on both sides.
So the one, if I may ask, the one that you betrayed, were you able to resolve the feelings and remain friends? Or did that destroy your friendship?
In the process, no. In the process of working on where that too, yes. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's very fresh, very new. But yes,
okay.
I believe we will make our way back to it.
Well, I hope you do. And I think I hope that your friend takes into consideration too that she didn't find out that you went to her and told her. I think that has lots of credence, you know, that you've you went to her instead of her finding out through the grapevine.
I appreciate that, and I do hope that that accounts for something.
I hope it does for you, too.
Thank you for the space.
You're welcome for the space. Excuse me, which is crazy. Hold on. I lost. I hate when I overshoot my thing in the queue. So going to that as anything else that is happening when you have that, like for me in particular, there's nothing worse than someone like to me like betrayal is. It can happen in any way that you can see fit and see for them. What's worse is when someone plots their betrayal, when someone plotted for it to happen, and then you could see it come, like you don't really recognize it until you actually see it, and then you go back and you be like, and you put the pieces together, you know. So when the pieces come together, and you're like, wow, you really sat here and really thought about, you know, this is what you were thinking about when you did it. And so, and sometimes that's the simplest thing that can actually occur to you, because a lot of times some things happen inadvertently, like it wasn't planned, somebody said something, nobody, you know, or you weren't apprised in on something that was happening. But the other thing is when someone actually says, okay, I see what this is, I want what it is that you have, and I'm going to work on getting what it is. And then something simple things that have happened, you know, they just begin to work. Now, my thing is this. If you're a friend, right, and some things are just simple conversations, some things are not. But if I don't understand that there's something that occurred beforehand and you didn't tell me and you refused to tell me, right, so then I make the discovery after the fact, and then it's like you wanna chill, like we cool. I can't do that.
No,
because that's what I thought
with my friend, because this was not just a one time deal. This was an ongoing, many months of visits, and he would pick her up after work and drive her home. He took her for supper, and he would go to her house, and she was married, her husband was there, but everything was he was drilling her all the while where I was and what I was doing.
And she went along with it
for months.
Okay, because two things. One, you said supper. I haven't heard that in like ages. Hey, eat your supper. But you said drilling her? You mean he was having sex with her?
No. Well, I don't know. But when I say that, I mean like giving her the first degree about questioning her about me and where I was, what I was doing, constantly.
Okay. And she was doing that, but and you've been.
Mind, though. That did come across my mind for sure, because he would take her for supper and lunch and stuff like that. So I did.
So do you think that they? Well, you don't know if they
have
any physical interaction, right? So you have no idea if they have physical interaction, but you do think that they had some type of emotional, we might call it emotional cheating, but you think that they developed something emotionally for each other?
I'm not sure. You know, I know what she's like, and I know what he's like, and you know, I don't think that he would. I don't believe that he would be after that with her. I think he wanted information. He was relentless, and he got the information that he needed. If anything happened beyond that, I don't really care at this point, and I don't really want to know either. So, because it doesn't really matter to me. It just the hypocrisy of it all on both sides is what bothered me the most. You know, that you're standing there on one side saying you're my friend, and him spending, you know, our whole marriage not liking her as a person, as a human being. And there was a lot of hypocrisy that was just strikingly disturbing.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense. But, all right, so let me rephrase this and come back to it real quick. have you been a friend? Have you been a friend or something where you've been forced to deal with someone's infidelity, someone's secrets that they were keeping, someone, and you've had to keep your mouth shut, and you know that this person was doing this other person dirty, but you had to bite your tongue till the blood came out your nose because you were sworn to secrecy. Have you been that kind of friend?
Yes.
I have too.
Okay, so hold on. We're going to start at the top, so we're going to start with LaPerla Negra and work our way down. So, LaPerla Negra, have you been that kind of friend?
I wasn't sworn to secrecy, but I was always the kind of person that would mind my business, and I always felt like if it's meant for them to know, they'll know. And I didn't interfere because I've seen too many friendships get broken up. You wind up being the enemy and the outsider because you went and told that.
Yeah.
But, and I mean, you actually can't win for losing because when they do finally find out and they say, well, you knew, why didn't you say something? It wasn't my place to say anything. It wasn't my business. Okay. I don't like gossip. I don't like interference in relationships. If that person, those people are not out committing murders or some kind of sociopath or something, and they're not bringing no harm to mankind, I mind my business. I keep my distance from the person that's messing around because I don't want any parts of it. But I mind my business pretty much. I've never been sworn to secrecy. I just never understood that. It's either you're going to say something or you're not, plain and simple. And I just was never the one to sit back and say anything. I've seen relationships totally destroyed where, though, it didn't have to go that way. It was a lack of communication between the couple. And they really could have talked it out and went on about their business. But there was this one particular female. She had this thing where she had women calling her at her job, watching her house, watching him, reporting every little move that this man made. And
wow.
She never got pissed off at them, but she got pissed off at me. You knew, and why didn't you say anything? Because it wasn't my place. You know, and it's like, but your relationship, nope, don't do that. What I eat don't make you shit, baby. Okay? And that's just the way I've always been.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go to Van Meadows.
Yeah, absolutely, I have. A cousin and my best friend. I knew all of his dirt, and she was my best friend, but I really couldn't tell her. So what I did do was make him tell her, or threaten him that I would tell her so that he could come clean. I mean, we're all still good friends to this day, because we were younger, you know. And when you're younger, you do dumb stuff, so. But yeah, I was definitely in that position.
Wow. All right, so we're gonna go to Lisa Lips.
In my situation, it was unwittingly. My girlfriend was seeing someone she was happy with who was a little older, and her mother was asking me about who he was and what I felt about him and whatever, and I thought she was looking out for her daughter's situation, and I eventually found out that she was making a play for the guy.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
And I was the one unwittingly in the middle.
Hmm. Wow. That's crazy. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to go to Lady A.
Yeah, I have kept secrets for my friend, and I, one incident I can see that I probably shouldn't have, but because I was asked to, and it just was how it was, and I kept the secret. And I don't know. I eventually she told the person involved, and of course that tells on you, like you said, why didn't you tell me, kind of thing, right? And I think you have to. Well, I mean, it comes right down to, like, how do you know who to trust anyway? So, if you have knowledge of something, I think the best thing to do is somebody comes to you with a friend's information. Like, for example, I'll just take my own situation where I was being followed and she was being interrogated to my whereabouts and that sort of thing. I think it would be better had she just come to me and say, look, he's asking me all these questions and this is what's going on, and just kind of, I don't understand why she didn't just walk away, I guess, after all that time. I think sometimes you can interpret it as gossip and say, I don't want to hear it, you know. I mean, unless it's something, you know, really, you know, cheating or something like that, but I think a lot of times we can walk away from those kinds of that bit of gossip or that bit of information and just stay clear of it altogether. And I don't know. It's a hard call. It's a hard call because there's so many circumstances and situations that you can, the scenarios can be hundreds, you know. And but I think it's like Danielle said. You when you try to go and stick up for your friend and you go and say, I know that, you know, Bobby was cheating on you, and then they end up taking Bobby's side, and you lose the friendship. So you're kind of damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me see. So we're going to go to Rain. Rain? Hello, Rain?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You're just kind of low.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Probably another unpopular comment is, no, I've never been in that position, but I've been the one that put somebody in that position. So no, I've never had to do that, friend.
Okay. All right. So we'll go to area code 410, who I believe has a question. I believe this is Karen. Karen, are you there?
Hey, Bobby, I'm here.
Hey, what's happening? So you had a question to ask about?
I did have a question.
My dog. Okay, what's your question?
What's that? Yeah. Well, hello, everyone. My question was, has anyone ever been accused of infidelity by, like, whether it be, you know, a friend or a spouse or whoever with someone, and they, like, swear that you either are doing or have done something with this person, but you, I mean, you could tell whether you did or didn't, but in my case, I didn't. And I was accused, like, oh, I know that you're messing with my man. No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. Like, you're my friend. What are you talking about? Meanwhile, the person was messing with the other person's friend. And to tap into the secrecy part, I didn't want to say anything because I was friends with the other person. And I also didn't want to get involved because I wanted to mind my own business. But I'm the one in the meantime that's being kind of side-eyed, like, you're messing with this person, and I know. So has that ever happened to anyone as far as someone accusing you of being the person that's like the side chick, side guy, or what have you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you can just chime in. So just chime in. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
So anybody can take this.
Yeah. I have.
Go ahead.
When
my best friend, she was sharing an apartment with her cousin, and her man started staying with her. Not my best friend, but her cousin's man. And from time to time, I would spend the night over there, you know, if we hung out the night before. And she would have, on my days off, I would just stay, you know, over there and wait until she got off of work, and then we would do the girlfriend thing. But there was a particular time where I was staying there one day, and he actually came in her bedroom, and he laid down next to me, and he made some advances toward me. He didn't, like, attack me or anything, but I told her about that. He said, and he told me before I even mentioned anything, he said, she's not going to believe you, regardless of what you say. So you might as well just come on and open your legs and blah, blah, blah. You know, and I told her, and she still did. She did not believe me. She was like, well, what were you doing to make him want to come in there and all kinds of crazy stuff. And from there on in, she would confide in my best friend and tell her, you know, I think she's messing around with him and this and this and that. And it was just craziness. And yeah, I got the side eye all the time. And I just, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy how people, I call it brainwashed and blind, how they get like that. And sometimes I don't even think is that they're brainwashed or blind. They just don't want to admit that they got a messed up individual for a partner, a cheater for a partner. Yeah. But I've been in that position.
I remember one time I was dating a guy that was quite a bit older than I was, and he was a musician, and you know, and I was madly in love and all the rest of it. And he, and after a while, the other guys in the band came to me and said, look, you know, you're a really nice person, but you need to know that he's a dog, basically. And so I didn't, you know, I didn't believe them, because blind is a good word to use, because you're, but deep in your heart, in the real core of yourself, I think we do know that there's that element of truth that's being told, and we choose not to believe it.
In my case, I tend to be a smartass depending on how you come at me. And I was working in a situation where I worked closely with this one guy all day, every day. And I went out on my lunch break one day, and his girlfriend pulled up in her car and, like, cuts me off. And he's like, I heard you like so-and-so. I was like, I like him just fine. We work together every day. What? Now, I heard you were trying to get with him. At that point, I didn't like her in the first place. So I was like, if I was trying to get with him, you wouldn't have him. And I kept walking. But, you know, it was never anything. We worked together. We worked together every day. I only saw him at work, but she wanted to try and say that I was coming for her man. So then I just planted seeds that she wanted to come at me sideways anyway. So then they ended up fighting about it. And he was like, why'd you say that to her? I said, why'd you let your barracuda out to come in my face?
Sorry.
That's okay.
That was literally, we are in overtime. You're hearing the sound of my voice. Welcome to the aftertime of us doing this. And actually, I was actually supposed to be doing this to 11, but we're going to finish our commentary and keep it moving. But please finish your thoughts, Ms. Lee Slips.
But, yeah, it depends on how you come at me. I've been accused before. I've been accused in both male and female situations, women that I was close to. People accuse me of being involved with, and I tend to hear it and not hear it, because I know what I did and didn't do, and what you think of what I did doesn't concern me.
Wow. All right, so we're going to go from you, Lady A. Wait, did I miss? I missed Van. Wait a second, I missed Van completely.
Yeah, because I already spoke to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Van, are you there?
Yeah. What's up, bro?
Yeah, I said so. Have you been accused of something that you didn't do, of infidelity? You know.
What man hasn't, honestly? But I'll just focus on me. I was away in Orlando for like 4 months for work, and I was accused during that time of being with other women while I was away. Even questioned my dad about whether or not he thought that I would be messing around, only to find out that the accusations were so that the attention would be taken off of them, you know, because phone records don't lie. They tell all the truth. So, yeah, I've been accused, but I've had substantial backup to prove that I only talked to her while I was away and didn't need to talk to anyone else. Well, she was talking to everybody under the sun. But hey, neither here nor there. Yeah.
Yikes. Rain?
Yes. My ex was extremely insecure, and I was often accused, though never guilty, often accused of cheating on him. Absolutely.
Wow.
However, he was the one who was guilty of emotional cheating. He was emotionally cheating on me the whole time.
Wow. All right.
Usually in a situation like that, the person that you're involved with is accusing you of cheating. 9 times out of 10, they're covering their own guilty conscience.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's I can agree. Surmise that. my ex-wife. The funny thing was, is you discover things way too late. Like, and you're already just not. You're not on it. And so here it is. I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, you know, hey, you know, this the family, you know, it's a little bit too close. You know, I don't think you're supposed to be interacting with people that you're the counselor for. I think you're not supposed to be doing that. And so this dude is walking in and out the house. I'm thinking like, oh, he's a friend of my kids, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and she was like, like literally, which was funny. She's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to give you a key to the house. I was like, so I'm paying rent, but I don't have a key, right? It was the craziest thing. So I was like, okay, by that time, I was like, all right, so stuff happens. I have my own apartment. And so she's like, yeah, I'm not going to give you a key, but, you know, I expect you to help pay rent because your kids are here. And I was like, okay, if there's anything else. And the crazy thing was, we had an IBM laptop. And what was crazy was, like, the IBM was open. And so normally, you know, you have different profiles. You can go on and everything else. When I opened a profile, I found out that basically she was writing him an email, basically telling him that he has keys, basically, you know, anything else is going on, that after a certain time he can come up through the back stairs, you know, and go straight into the bedroom so the kids wouldn't see him.
Oh, my soul. Wow.
And so, and the thing was, right, I read it, right? So my mind is blown. So you know how you, like if you're trying not to lose your shit. So I was trying not to lose my shit. I was, like, really trying to not lose my shit, right? And so it was, like, between that, you know, having this oversized pit bull that was eating everything alive that basically chewed up all my boots and shit. And I was just, like, you're not even supposed to have a dog. And they're like, no, I'm keeping the dog. I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the brother was a crackhead. Brother was a crackhead that, you know, was moved in, was stealing everything in sight and selling it and shit. So, and I'm still expected to pay for this thing. So then when I went to talk to her, she's like, oh, I know you're fucking these other. And she was going ham. Like, I'm talking about ham. It's hard to explain. Like, she was really yelling and screaming and flipping stuff and knocking stuff off a table and breaking ceramics, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm like, I already know that you're cheating on me. I already know. And when I said it so quietly that they stopped. And then they looked at me and they was like, well, you're not enough of a man for me, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, really? I was like, he's 19 and he's a game banger.
Oh.
Seriously? Crazy, right? So it was nuts. It was nutty shit. But she was like that. She had a whole bunch of stuff going on. There was a whole bunch of things that happened. But, like, she really was, like, bugging, like literally. And I realized that every time that she would flip out, she would do these motions, like break stuff, go crazy. You'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, it's serious, you know. So now when people do stuff, like, I try to evaluate what's wrong, like why they're in the moment and stuff like that. But I realized that people do stuff because they're covering their tracks and they're doing all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I've been in that situation. Karen, did we answer your question?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much, everyone.
You're welcome. All right. So, quick pass in a hurry. With anything else, what do you think? All right, so the last question of the evening, and then we're going to be off of this thing because I'm supposed to be off here because it's a camp day tomorrow. How does society's expectations affect your relationship in a negative or a positive manner? And we'll just stop at the top. Everybody run through, starting with you, Danielle. Let's go.
It doesn't. I've never paid attention to the rules of society or anything like that. I mean, I'm a good citizen, but it never really affected it.
Okay. Van Metals?
I was awake. Can you repeat the question?
I said, how does society affect your relationship, either good or bad? Society or its expectations affect your relationship, either good or bad?
Past relationship?
Yeah.
Society messed up my past relationship, if I'm going to be honest. We probably could have worked it out had she not been listening to society and, you know, people who don't know the law. Kind of tell her that she can get everything if she just walked away. And present day, I definitely look at things a whole lot differently because my peace matters, my sanity matters, and I refuse to be hurt again. So I look at what society is doing now, and I'm like, yeah, these are the reasons why I stay single. These are the reasons.
Oh, oh wow. All right, so we're going to go on to Lisa Lips.
Society can affect your relationship, but social media has become, like, the major issue. People live and die by what somebody posts. And a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, you know. And so, but in the same vein, if I'm involved with you and you have an issue about me posting the fact that I'm involved with you, that lights up all kinds of bells and whistles in my head, because why can't you publicly acknowledge me in any way on your page? Except that you're using your page to troll other people.
Wow.
My last liaison was broken up for that reason, because he blatantly stated that if I posted anything about us as a couple, that he was going to end our relationship. So I saved him the trouble.
Wow. Serious business. Lady A.
I think society today plays a huge role in relationships and expectations and not in a positive way. I think that there's a tremendous amount of negative influences for young people to see what relationships are, and everywhere you look there's cheating and I think it's sad because they learn how to behave and that it's okay because, you know, everybody's doing it kind of thing. I mean, it's pretty much, it's rampant. You look at some of these shows that are on TV, and I sound like a prude when I say that, but I think that there is a big element of teaching young people and couples how to behave, and the roving eye is always there, and that's, I feel, is really sad. And instead of, you know, being true to self and your partner, I think that the influences are there in a hugely negative way.
Mm. Wow. Okay. Ray?
Lady A and Lisa said a whole mouthful. For me, in the past, it wasn't society, it was church. I did not say religion, I said church. I didn't say spirituality, I said church. So for me in the past, it was church. And now, hell, I don't know. I'm still figuring it out.
Oh, wow. So, cool. And then we're going to end with Karen. Karen, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay. That's okay.
Well, I've been single, if you want to call it that, for quite some time. But I don't believe in letting other people's opinions or letting societal standards or thoughts, anything really affect my relationships. I kind of, as you know, because you know me personally, I'm a do what I want when I want type of person. So if and when I am in a relationship, I just try to focus on, you know, what our collective goals are and what we got going on and what we want to do and where we are going with it. So I think what happens with a lot of people, and especially nowadays, is with us being, you know, the era of social media and everything just being social media driven, people portray their relationships to be a certain way, and these goals, relationship goals, so to speak. And I think what happens a lot of times are people try to mirror their relationships after these fake, artificial, you know, pseudo goals. These people are fake. Like they're not really telling the truth or telling the whole story. But people attempt to mimic these relationship goals that are present in social media. Oh, I want to go on vacation with, you know, vacation and do this, and I want you to do this, and I want you to buy me flowers every day, and unrealistic things. And I think that is really what is the downfall of a lot of relationships. That's just my little humble opinion. People trying to copy what they see on social media and trying to become these goals. I don't fall into that because I don't give a hot diggity damn what they're doing. I do what works for me, so it doesn't affect me, but I see it affecting others, and I think that's one of the main reasons, among a few. All right, and that's it.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that sometimes people get into the idea of what they think the standards of society is, and I think comparison is the thief of joy. I think that half the people who are really like, you know, I learned something from my brother Rasheem, you know Rasheem. So Rasheem, like, you know, he didn't do a bunch of stuff when he got married. You know, he basically only told the people he was going to tell that was going to happen. He kept it at home. He kept it with his family. And he was like, I'm doing this, he said, because people don't need to know how successful my relationship is, because I'm not going to be posting all of these pictures about stuff that I'm doing to make people believe that I'm happy. And I think that when people are posting and they're doing Instagram posts and they're doing this and they're showing off their relationship in so many different ways, they're TikToking, they're doing all these different things, is because they want people to believe that they're happy and successful. But the people I know who are really successful at relationships in my personal circle, they post nothing. You know nothing about them. You might see a picture every now and again, holidays, certain things, but they keep their relationship to themselves and don't choose to share it with the world. And I think that sometimes when we're looking at things, we're looking at people, you know, they're looking at cars, they're looking at people that are, they're doing all these different things instead of actually being focused on what the actual relationship is. You know, one of the things that kill me about people when they're talking about marriage, most people want a wedding, but very few people want marriage, you know. So
I
joked about I literally joked. I said, listen, I should form a company where we give you a wedding, and then when y'all done, you'd be like, thanks, that was a great wedding. We go about your business. Nobody's really married. We repeat the process of that. Right? And they can go through the whole thing of like having a wedding, but not it be a wedding. It'd be a wedding. We wouldn't do it. But I think it's a great idea, and we're going to call it the not wedding. But literally, somebody's going to steal this idea. Damn it. I shouldn't have said the shit out loud. Anyway. you know, next thing you know, oh, you're going to do this. They're like, not wedding. They're like, ah, oh, goddamn.
The unwedding.
Yeah, no.
And it's so easy to get out of a marriage, and you're exactly right when you said that, too, about the wedding versus a marriage. And it's so easy for people to get out of a marriage. You know, you get upset about something, and okay, well, that's it. We're done, we're over. And I mean, I felt that way, too. And sometimes I think, like you said, it should be harder to get married than it is to get divorced.
But that's what I'm saying. Like ultimately, when I got divorced, like literally she served me papers at my school. It was crazy. Like she literally sent somebody to serve me papers at my school, and I just let it rock. And then by that time everything went out, because I was like, I just want my last name back. You can keep everything. I don't care. And it was funny because like I left so much stuff behind, but it just didn't matter, you know, when anything else was happening. But literally when we were thinking about the stuff that was happening, like when people are prepared, like most of the people I know that are really successfully married either fall within a particular age group, they're a certain generation, or they're people who refuse to be conventional with the ideas of it, and they're very specific about what it is that they do together. Like, it's really a certain thing, and I think society will have you think, like, yo, you got to have this, you got to do that, you got to be like this, you know, you got to have this kind of car, you got to look like this, you got to do that, you know. And so a lot of times I think that we respond from the lack of things that we have that make us aspire to things and make us believe that we can have whatever it is that's happening. And it doesn't really work that way, especially amongst the relationships, because literally I've known people who've been married, like I have a friend, who got married, and he was done with her. He annulled the marriage 3 months later, but they spent like $50,000 on their wedding.
Wow.
And they're still paying it off. Like, and they're still paying it off.
Right?
Oh hell no, absolutely not.
No, but
absolutely
but
not. I'm going to the courthouse.
Like, no, seriously, but literally, some people that's where they're at with theirs, and so they have this expectation, you know. They have things that they really want to participate in. They have things that they want to do. A lot of people, they want to pull up with their bridesmaids and do all the fun stuff and everything else like that. But sometimes when you're settling in, you realize, you're like, you know what? This motherfucker farts in his sleep. You know,
oh, my.
The bathroom really stinks or something like that. You know, it could be anything. Right, because some things will grate on you, whether you recognize it or not. But the real thing is really coming to terms with each other and actually building upon that. So I'll say that to say this. But anyway, it is a camp day. It is a camp day. I'd like to thank everybody who came through and spent this time with us here on Epiphany Radio Universe, War Council, Damage Part 3. We're back. Iron Man is back, as Van Metal would say. Back at it. I'd like to thank La Perla Negra. I'd like to thank Poetic. I'd like to thank Lisa Lips. I'd like to thank Lady A. I'd like to thank Cotton for coming through. I'd like to thank Rain. I'd like to thank everybody who participated in this fashion so we can talk about these things. And more to come. Although I'm rather confused, I have no idea what I'm doing next week, but I'll figure it out between then. So I have no promo to give you, but Van Meadows, can you tell us what's happening this week in Epiphany Radio Universe?
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with Miss VIP and La Perla Negra. Thursday night is the Get Down with the Dark Knight himself, J-Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night is the return of Renaissance Poetry at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with your host, Keith Eric. Saturday night, y'all, is Poetic Therapy with La Perla, La Negra, and Stan the Man Phillips. Sunday Night Show is the Inspiration Factory with your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic, and the one and only Mr. Metaphoria. Then Monday Night Show will be back in the Soul Cafe with the CEO himself, For Real, the Poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, Essentially Janice running the event page, La Perla, La Negra, and yours truly, Poetic. And we get to do For Real, the Poet Douglas poetry, y'all. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for whatever show Mojave decides to do. Hitting, Black Speak, Honey Dripper, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and all that. Happy Hanukkah and all that. You know, whatever show he decides to do is
It's going to be August, right? It's going to be August, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, it's Fly Speak. It's Fly Speak. It's Red Riding Hood. And my special guest who is going to be super dope and is going to be an amazing time. I promise you, you don't want to miss this. This is going to be super dope poetry from different levels. And I'm calling the show Generations for a reason and purpose. Super dope. I wasn't thinking. Yes. Fly Speak open mic. Two features. Super incredible. You're going to love it. Poetry from a whole different level. It's going to be super fly. I promise you. Oh my gosh, it's going to be dope. I just remembered that. Thank you, Van. But for everybody
See,
else,
you
thank
you,
Javi.
That's what you got me for.
I know. It's Javi. Yes.
Back to you.
Thank you, sir. thank you, sir. Thank you very much. But for everybody else, listen, don't allow people to affect your relationships or anything else that we have when it comes to your family. You know, unless you're married to that motherfucker, and if you're married to that motherfucker, he ain't shit. Get rid of him. That's a special message I'm putting out. I'm putting that special message out. Kick that motherfucker to the curb. He ain't shit. We know he ain't shit. You know he ain't shit. Kick him to the fucking curb. He ain't shit. That's a special message. I'm not talking about people in general. People know exactly what I'm talking about. That motherfucker ain't shit. Anyway, I had to say it because we're in overtime, so I can say it. I'll say it three times. That motherfucker ain't shit. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Behave yourself.
Yes. I'm behaving myself, but it's true, though. It's very true. It's very, very true. And literally, I'm willing to go to jail because he needs to be punched in his motherfucking face. Anyway. I didn't mention who it was, so I can't go to jail for that. But I wish he took a short chip off of a very long fall. That's what I.
Oh my goodness!
It's feeling that way.
I love
sorry.
It.
Sorry. Sorry. You know. Just saying, it's important. You know, I'm just saying this message out loud, just in case, because you know, you never know. He might be listening, and if you are listening, I'm talking to you. Anyway,
Mojave.
That's the first one. Yes, I'm sorry.
I love your passion, Mojave.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Alberta. Now, shout out to T. LaSalle for rocking this event page, for doing everything and rocking it out for us. We appreciate you. Super dope. We appreciate the thing because I really was like goofing off of the event page and wasn't doing anything because my mom was busy. But I'm relaxing, Siesta. And just for the record, yes, my mother's doing a lot better. They got a lot of the water up off of her, and they're going to do it for two more days. And if it works out, she'll come home happy. All right. So I'm in a much better mood. Yes, much better mood. I didn't get a chance to talk about that. But, yeah, that's what happened. You know, they was like, yeah, it's working. It's working. And my brother said that she's in high spirits. She's almost back to normal. She's not bloated and all this other crazy stuff that she was looking. So, you know, they got the water from around the heart and things of that sort. So it's good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. So, yeah, I'm in a lot better mood. I'm feeling like myself. It's rocking. But thank you for everybody who came out and rocked with us.
Yay.
And realized that we're here. We're back on Epiphany Radio Units. We back, baby. We back. Thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Good night. Get rid of that motherfucker. Anyway, shout out to everybody who came out tonight and did everything else. Much love and appreciation. Thank you. I appreciate you. Shout out to everybody who was here. Shout out to everybody who was listening. We love you. Y'all have a good night. Good night.
Thank you for a good show.
Love and light.
Thank you. Great. You're welcome. All right.
I'm ready.
All right.
Talk
to you later.
Bless you all.
All right. Of course. Bye. Peace.
Good night.
Right. Bye. Good night.